I found the scripture this morning very apt for today, as we see Mary and Joseph faithfully coming to the Lord to present their child to him. So have Ben and Emily, who have brought Jesse to present him before the Lord as well. I think that is the best beginning for a new life, to be able to thank God for bringing Jesse safely into this world. But more than that, taking the opportunity to allow Jesse to become a part of God's family today. It is always a joy to add someone new to our church family. It was because of that first day when Jesus was presented in the temple that everyone was allowed a glimpse of what Jesus was to become. We see the faithfulness of Simeon and Anna, people who had dedicated their whole lives to God. Simeon couldn't have known just by looking at the baby that he would accomplish he wouldn't have been able to see just by looking at him that he would accomplish all that God had planned. But the Holy Spirit filled him and opened his eyes, and he saw beyond the flesh to see the truth of God's plan. He had waited and hoped all of his life to see God restore the world to a right relationship with him. And now, here, right before his eyes, he saw God's salvation. He sees Jesus, the light of the world, now only in infancy. He could now go to God knowing that God's plan has been completely fulfilled. For he says in verse 30 and 32, "My eyes have seen your salvation, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and a glory to your people Israel." That was God's plan in full, for the Gentiles and the Jews, for everyone who would believe in Jesus, and they would have that light. And again, later on, we will light a candle to remind us of that light. Simeon says of Christ that he is the consolation of Israel. In Latin, that means going towards the sun. So turning to the light, that is a part of the promises we made today. Turning towards Christ and turning away from evil. We are called with Simeon and Anna to look forward, to turn to the light of Christ. Simeon also gives us insight into what that eternal light would cost. He said to Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and a sign to be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own soul too." So we see a glimpse, just a glimpse, of the Easter story, where the sword will pierce the side of Jesus and the soul of Mary as she witnesses the sacrifice of her son upon the cross. He gave us a gift of life, that we may know his grace and love, that in the waters of baptism we might be made new and able to walk in his light. Simeon and Anna had held on to that hope even when there was no hope to be found. He never gave in even when the world around him was falling apart. And I think that shows us a great example how to keep our hope in face of difficulties in our lives or in those around us. And I was thinking about how that relates to us. I want to share just a short story of my son. Some of you know my son Josiah, he's my eldest. And I think it was relevant to today. I was thinking about his birth. And, well, to be quite honest, both of my sons were miraculous births. Not like Mary's, obviously. But with Josiah, everything was fine. We had all the scans. Everything was good. We got to 35 weeks. And I noticed that Josiah wasn't kicking very hard. And I thought, well, this doesn't feel right. It's kind of weird. And so I saw the consultant that week, and he asked me to, back then, this was 30 years ago, it'll be 30 next week, he asked me to do a kick chart to see how many times he kicked during the day. And so I did that, and he kind of kicked in the morning, but not in the evening. It was kind of, something was wrong. And so they immediately had me have a scan, and they said he's really small for his days. And then when I saw the consultant, 5 days later, he said, "Right, my placenta had disintegrated, so he's starving to death, basically." And so they said, "Right, you're in the hospital tomorrow, no anesthesia, but," and obviously, you know, you come in to see the consultant, that's not what you're expecting. So I went, as any grown, mature woman would do, went in the waiting room and sobbed my eyes out. They had to take me to a side room so I didn't disturb all the other parents. And I went into the hospital the next day, and it was early in the morning, very early in the morning, and they started to monitor me and see his heart rate, because they were going to induce me. That was the plan. And they said, well, if his heart rate goes below this, then press the button. And so within like 15 minutes, it was below what it should be. I pressed the button and they came back in and they said, well, let's try it again. Let's wait. You know, so we did this a couple times, pressing the button about every 15 minutes. And then the consultant finally came in and he was like, I'm not sure about this. Should we induce? And then he checked all of my ratings. He goes, no, I'm not going to risk it. We're going to do an emergency cesarean. So we did. That was comical in itself. I went down, they gave me an epidural, and I passed out on the floor. Charlie was told to get dressed, and he put all the surgical clothes over his normal clothes. And I said, no, you can't do that. Go back and put the surgical clothes on properly. But Josiah was born, and a lot of you know him. He's fine, he's safe, he's turning 30 next week. He was in an incubator for 10 days. And very weak, but he was fully formed, and praise God for that. But what the miracle that really happened was a couple days later, I called my mom, and just to tell her that we're safe, we're okay. And she said, Kim, you won't believe this, but we worked it out. It was the exact time that the consultant was standing over me, deciding whether to induce or to do a cesarean. She said, I woke up in the States, 5,000 miles away, in the middle of the night, and I just saw this picture of Josiah being choked to death. And she said, all I heard was the Lord saying, please pray, please pray. And she prayed and prayed and prayed until that feeling went away and she was at peace. And we found out later from the consultant, had he had induced me, it would have killed him because he wasn't strong enough to be born in a natural way. And so for me, when I think about the graciousness of God, when I think about how precious he is and how much he cares for us, that he actually woke my mom up 5,000 miles away in the middle of the night to pray so that my son would come safely. That's the kind of God we love and serve. And a God who cares about every minute part of our lives. He intervened when it felt like all was lost. He showed the light and he came into a situation that I couldn't have done on my own. That is the God we serve, who cares about all that we're going through, whether it be good or bad, hard or difficult, good, joyful. Today is a joyful day, a wonderful day, a celebration of life. And bringing that joy to Ben and Emily and Jude and the whole family. So as we go from here today, let us look towards that light. And as Jesse takes the light of Christ and that represents his baptism today, let us remember our baptism too. Remember that Christ is our hope. He is our strength. He is our grace. He is our love. He is the one who can help us through all that we face. Amen.